Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, if you will. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to be today. And as I mentioned, we finished up the series in Hebrews. And so through the month of March, at least until Resurrection Sunday, I'm going to be preaching some messages along our annual theme this year, Sow Bountifully, Reap Bountifully. And I want to look here at Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse 1 through 9. And it's important for us to see that this is not only the only truth we can pull out of this many times in our minds is this. We will say, well, all we have to do is go out and throw the seed, and wherever it lands, it's going to land there. But we should be throwing the seed. Oftentimes, that's the way that this passage is preached. And that's fine. It can be preached that way. But I believe there's an application that we can make here as well when it comes to our own lives, not being the one throwing the seed, but when it comes to the soil that the seed is landing on. Every time the Bible is preached, the seed goes forth. What soil describes your life and my life? You know, it's no secret that our theme this year is Sow Bountifully, Reap Bountifully. We changed the banners out this year so that it could be right here in front of us and hopefully as a constant reminder. And we've looked at areas of sowing and reaping, and it's been applied in different ways. And throughout this month, we'll be focusing on that on Sunday mornings. But with that being said, I think it's important for us to see that the sowing cannot be done the way that it's supposed to without somewhere for that seed to fall. Every time the seed goes out, it's going to fall on something. It's going to land. The force of gravity is going to force it down to the ground. So notice here in Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 9, the Bible says this. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, before we go on any further, I want us to see the sower that went forth to sow. We are equating that to the Word of God this morning. The Word of God goes forth, seeds from the Word of God come into our lives. So we've got the Word of God, the seed is going out. And notice, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think all of us today, we have ears and we can hear. You may say, well, some people can hear better than I can. Well, all of us have ears and we can all hear. Amen. And when the Word of God goes forth, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, if you're saved here today. And that Holy Spirit is going to take the seed from the Word of God, the truth that is preached every single time the Word of God is open, and He's going to put that seed into your life. Our job is to ensure that it falls on good ground. That's not on the wayside. We'll talk about each one of these here in just a moment. And the reality is, everyone in this room here today, your life is going to be described in one of these pieces of ground that we're going to talk about. It's our job to decide whether or not we're going to ensure that our life is good soil, whether or not it's going to be a place in which the Word of God can grow and show forth fruit. Let's go to Lord in prayer and we'll get started here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that each one of us here today would ensure that when we leave this place, Lord, that our life is good soil. Lord, I thank You for each and every one here, and I thank You for their faithfulness. And Lord, I thank You that we have a desire to hear the Word of God preached. Lord, I pray that our desire would also be to apply the Word of God to our lives. Lord, there's conviction that's needed in this room today. I know that because it's needed in my own heart. Lord, there's comfort that's needed. There's challenges that people are going through in this room that maybe only they know and you know. Lord, I pray that you would give comfort where that's needed today. Give grace. And Lord, I do pray that you would speak to our hearts, draw us closer to you. And if there's anyone that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray they'd get their eternity settled today. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember at the beginning of the year, we looked in our mind's eye, and when we were talking about the principle of sowing and reaping, and we looked in our mind's eye there, I challenged us to look at a plot of land, and you've got a plot of land. Your plot of land may have been a perfect square, it may have been a rectangle, it may have been a circle, whatever it may have been, but pull up that plot of land in your mind here today, that plot of land that you pictured, and I challenged us to see that plot of land as our life. This is a representation of my life. What gets sown in this is what's going to produce fruit. So I have to protect exactly what is sown there. No one else can sow bad seed there. You make the decision on what seed goes into your piece of land. Now, there are people that, they'll try to throw some bad seed your way. And if we allow that to come into our life, and we allow that to control us, and we allow that to guide our thinking and the way that we live, if we allow those bad seeds to come into our life, it's not them planting it there. It's us taking that bad seed and putting it in our own ground. And so I challenged us to look at that piece of land, to see that piece of ground, to see that it's maybe been plowed up there, it's ready for seed, and we asked ourselves, what seed am I planting? What am I sowing? Because whatever I sow, the Bible says, that shall a man also reap. Well, today we're going to be looking at this passage here about the sower and the seed. You know, the reality is this: we can each be blessed by the fruit that is evident in our field, but only if we put the right seed there. But there are many things to consider on the side of sowing the seed. There's a lot of care that must go into the ground that the seed is going to be placed into. I cannot care for your ground, and you cannot care for my ground. That is a decision between me and the Lord. You cannot open my heart up to Scripture. I cannot open your heart up to Scripture. I can't say, you know what? You're doing okay. I think I'll give you some good soil. You're not doing okay, so you're going to be the wayside soil. I can't make that decision for you. A lot of times we will convince ourselves, well, as long as I go to the right church, I'm doing the right thing. That's not the case. You should be in the right church. I love our church, but our church can't get you to heaven. Only the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can get you to heaven. I love our church. Our church can't make you more spiritual. We can preach the Word of God. We can have all the classes and all of these things. We can go through page after page and chapter after chapter, book after book. But if you never take that seed and apply it to your life, you're not going to grow in the Word of God. And I'm not going to grow in the Word of God. Did you know I could preach every one of these messages that I preach every year, which is 200 plus messages every single year? I could preach every single one of those messages and not apply them to my heart. I could. Just because I'm saying words doesn't mean I'm spiritual. It's a decision I have to make. I have to ask the Lord, Lord, speak to my heart. So I'd like to take a few moments today and preach a message that I've entitled this, simply, the soil test. We're going to test some soil today. I think it's important for us to realize that the soil that's being tested, I'm testing my soil by the Word of God. You're testing your soil by the Word of God. I'm not testing your soil. I don't know what goes on in your life. You don't know what goes on in my life, but God does. So as we go through these different types of soil that we're going to read about here today, let's be honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord. When God says, that soil describes your life. The reason it describes our life, we need to allow the Lord to fix that. We need to allow the Lord to take us into that place of good soil. It's no strange thing in the agricultural community to hear about a soil test. It's one of the tests that must be done when a farmer goes to buy a piece of property. He wants to have the soil tested to see what the nutrients are that's there. And even in residential areas, they will test the soil because they have to know whether a septic or a well can be put there. And they're testing for water and all of those things. They're not testing to see if there's dirt there. That's not what they're testing. They're testing to see what kind of dirt, what kind of soil, but then also this, and this is very important when we're taking the soil test in our life, how that soil reacts to the water that flows through it. There's an awful lot of believers today, they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but the Word of God cannot penetrate the soil because it's so hard. Lord, help us. Very important factors when it comes to a soil test, and the farmer wants to know exactly what he's dealing with. So as we look at this passage today, let's allow the Lord to perform a soil test on our hearts. What is our soil like? If the Bible is going to test our soil, then the Bible is going to tell us exactly what the results are when that test is done. But can we make a decision this morning? Can we decide right now that whatever the Lord shows us about our soil, whatever the results say, can we decide that we are going to allow the Lord to add the necessary nutrients to our lives and also allow the Lord to take out the pollution from our lives so that we can have the assuredness that the seed falls on good ground? Can we make that decision this morning? I can't make that decision for you, but by God's grace, I'm making that decision. I want the Lord to show me if there's anything in my life that is keeping me from having that good soil, if there's anything in my life that is keeping the Word of God from bringing forth a bountiful fruit in my life. I want God to show that to me. But we can make that decision, but then when we leave this place, just because God showed us the problem doesn't mean the problem's been dealt with. Deal with the problem as well. I want us to look at this seed today as the truths from God's Word. The seed that we're talking about has nothing to do with man's words or man's agenda, but rather the timeless truths from the Word of God. The reality is this, we are in the house of God this morning. Therefore, we are here to hear from the Word of God. Not here to hear me. I'm not an eloquent speaker that people will drive from hours around. No, I'm the type of speaker that even the next door neighbor says, oh, I don't know that I want to hear him talk. Amen. It's not to hear me. It should be to hear the Word of God. But many times we say, well, I went to church this morning. I heard the Word of God. The truths went forth. But the seed can't grow because we didn't allow the Lord to apply it. We didn't allow the ground to be prepared for that. The reality is this, all of us have ground. All of us have soil. How's it going to react to the Word of God? We should be happy Christians, amen? The Bible says that we should be in the joy of the Lord. Kids song goes like this, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Praise the Lord. It's good. It's good to be saved. But it also says this, if you're saved and you know it, then your face will surely show it. You know what I found? The ones that have good ground in their life, the ones that are living a life sold out to the Lord, the ones that from the outside you can see that they're living a life that God is working through. From the outside, you would say they have good soil. You know what most of them will say? Oh, I don't have good soil. I've got so much work to do. Because they realize we all need God's help. But what I've also found is those type of people that realize we've got so far to go. I've got so many more things that I need to give to the Lord. I've got so many areas in which I need to yield to the Lord. They're the happiest people I've ever met. They've got the joy of the Lord. They're saved. but their face shows it. They're happy. Here at Grace Baptist Church, the seed from the Word of God is going out in all different ways. There's Sunday school classes, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. We have men's breakfast. We have ladies' fellowships. We just had a teen rally. We have vacation Bible school. We have teen camps. We have First Friday. We've got soul winning going on almost every day of the week. Someone from this church is out knocking on doors or visiting first-time guests. We've got distribution of tracts. We've got follow-up visits, on and on. We could go. The seed is going out of this place, and praise the Lord for that. We're not keeping the seed in the barn, amen. It's going out into this community. The question is, what ground is it falling on? But the reality is this, we can become so focused on getting all the seed out there, and we should be focused on that. God gave us one job to do, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God told us to do that. We should be going out there. But how do we do that the way that God told us? By allowing the Word of God to dwell richly in our hearts here. To yield to the Word of God. To ensure that our ground is as good as it can possibly be. That way we can be a witness out there. So how does our soil react to the Word of God? Because every type of soil has a different reaction. So let's take the soil test this morning. Amen. First of all, notice this. The wayside soil. The wayside soil. As we look at verse 4 of our passage, it says this, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." As we see this soil here, it's important for us to realize exactly what we're looking at. I want us to picture that field for just a moment. Here is a plot of land. The farmer is going to plant that, and the sower is going to sow. The seed is going to go out. So picture this. Of course, they didn't have some modern equipment. Of course, we've got this equipment today where you're just driving through a field. It's planting the seed as you go, but the picture that we're looking at today of the Word of God is the sower. And the sower has a bag of seed, and the sower would be going out throughout his field. He would take a handful of seed out of that bag, and he would throw that seed. So as we're talking about these different soils today, what's happening is this. When he's walking down through there, all around him, there's these different kinds of soil that we're going to talk about. And when he throws that seed, of course, the seed is going to fall on all those different types of soil. So when we look at this wayside soil, notice it says, by the wayside. Now, if you're anything like me, I tend to read things with a preconceived idea of what I think it means. And when I read this, when I look at verse 4, and it says, "And some seeds fell by the wayside," in my mind, here you have the farmer, you've got the sower there, and this is his field right here, and this is where the field stops. There's no more that's tilled here or anything like that. In my mind, it was he's going out, he's throwing seed. Well, some of that seed is going to fall on the wayside, the part that's not tilled. In my mind, that's what I was thinking. But then I started studying this passage out, and I found out that it's a good thing I don't follow exactly what I think, because I would have missed the whole point of this verse. When we look at the wayside, think of this field, but this wayside that it's talking about is not the area on the side, but rather a path that would be walked by the ones who would pass through that field. Think about it for a moment here. They didn't have all of the roadways that we had today. So oftentimes people would pass through people's property when they're trying to go into town and those types of things. And the wayside would be a path that was going through that field. For some fields, it may be on the edge. For other fields, it's a diagonal line that goes through. And that path was walked by people. It was there was carts that would go over that. There were no out chariots and those types of things that would go over that, and that ground would get packed down over and over and over again. It would not get tilled, so every time someone walked on that, the ground would get harder. Oh, it's right in the middle of the field. And as the sower went forth and he threw that seed, some of that seed would land on the wayside. Not the side of things like we would think, but the way that people would walk. So you've got this piece of property here. You've got this wayside that goes down through that. It's been walked on. It's been stomped down. It was trodden down. It was the same dirt as the field. The exact same dirt. They didn't bring in gravel and say, well, we're going to make a way here for people to walk through. No, it's just the place that people had walked there. And I believe there's two applications that can be made here. And the first is this. If you're here today and you've heard the word of God, you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know there's only one way to heaven. You know the Bible is clear that it's not of works. You know that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you haven't called on him, maybe you think that you're a good enough person. Understand, you're not saved today, and you need to trust Christ. And what has happened is this. You've been under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been under the preaching of the Bible. You've been amongst the brothers and sisters in Christ. The same seed is going out, and there may be a person over here that has the ground and is prepared for that seed, and they've trusted Christ as their Savior, but you've rejected Christ over and over again. And though the seed keeps coming out, every time you reject Christ, it's another person coming by and they're stomping that down. The seed is landing on your life, but it's not growing. It can't penetrate the soil because you've rejected Christ so much. But can I help you here today? You can accept Christ today. Realizing I'm a sinner and I am on my way to hell. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I don't want to die and go to hell. I know that He paid my sin debt. Lord, I want to trust You today. You can do that today. But if you reject Christ, understand the ground gets harder and harder and harder. So that's one application to the unsaved. But I believe there's another application as well. Though the unsaved can be this wayside, I believe in a believer's life, and I would go so far as to say in most believers' lives, if you were to look at their soil and take this soil test, it's going to be wayside soil. And here's why. This is why I believe that this is where most believers are, because most believers, when they take the soil test and it says the wayside soil, it will be for this simple reason, because we have become used to the seed of the Word of God. We're not strangers to Bible preaching. Preacher gets up. We come on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We know that we're going to come in. We're going to sing some songs there. We're going to take an offering. And then the kids are going to go downstairs. The preacher's going to get up. He's going to preach the Word of God. And then at the end, the piano is going to play. Some people are going to come forward and they're going to get some things right with God. And they're going to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to make this decision and to stick to this decision. And then the pastor's going to pray after that. And then we're going to dismiss in prayer, then we're all going to go home and we'll come back next time and do it all over again. What's happening? When we're in such a routine that that's all it is to us, we may be saved. We're on our way to heaven. But the soil test in our life is the wayside soil. Because we're not allowing the Lord to do anything in our life. You know, most believers cannot remember the last time they made a decision for Christ. Don't remember the last time they made a decision that changed anything in their life. They don't remember the last time the Holy Spirit spoke to their heart from the Word of God, and therefore they had to get rid of something or they had to take on something. They don't remember the last time. For most believers, and I'm not just talking about the ones that are out there this morning. I'm talking about the ones right here in this room. Why is it that many believers cannot remember the last time they bent their knee at the altar? Because of the wayside soil. Because we allow ourselves to say, I've been saved long enough. I don't have to make any decisions. Oh, I know what the Word of God says. Well, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Oh, this is going to be a message on the sower and the seed. I've been there multiple times. Church, it's sad when we can't remember when the last time we made a decision for the Lord. The last time we remember the Lord breaking us over our sin. We get so caught up in, well, I'm more spiritual than they are. How about we look in the mirror instead? Say, Lord, break me. God will do a work in your heart. God will do a work in your family. God will do a work in this church. God will do a work in this community if we would be broken for Him. What has to be broken? That wayside soil. It's been walked on so much. It's been trodden down so much. It's as hard as a rock. But we're in church. We're here. We got a Bible under our arm. I even said amen during the singing today. But when's the last time you were broken? The wayside soil. It's present in many people's hearts and lives. Why is it we can't remember the last time we shed a tear in the house of God? Why is it that we can't remember the last decision we made that was a drastic decision to change things in our lives to conform to the Word of God? It's because of the wayside soil. Because if we're honest with ourselves before the Lord, more often than not, it's the wayside soil that our test would say. We've heard the Bible preached. We know what the passage says. We know that Matthew 13 is about the sower and the seed, yet we don't allow the Bible to change us. The seed goes forth every single time we come to church. Every time we read the Bible, the seed is going out, but it just sits on top of the ground, and then it gets devoured by the fowls of this life. Why is that? Because we are wayside Christians many times. If we come in and we hear the truth from the Word of God and that seed goes forth and it's sitting there on top of the ground and we're not allowing the Lord, as the Bible says, to break up that fallow ground. If we're just allowing it to sit there, I can guarantee you that when you go out to lunch this afternoon or when you go in the workplace tomorrow or when you get back to your home, if you don't allow that seed to go into the ground, and to spring up there and allow the Lord to do great things. If you don't allow Him to do that immediately, the fowls of this world are going to take that seed from you. And by Monday morning, you won't remember the decision you made in the house of God. Because God requires immediate obedience. Pastor Moore would make this statement, delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. That's true. Many times we are wayside Christians. Notice the second one here. Notice the stony soil. Not the wayside soil, but the stony soil. Look at verse 5, if you will. It says, some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. As we look at this soil, we see that it specifically says it is soil. This isn't the hard ground that has been compacted over and over again. That's not what we're talking about now. We are switching gears, if you will. We see that it was you had the wayside soil. That was the path. Now you've got this stony soil. It fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth. So there was some earth there. There was some soil. There was some dirt that was there. And that's the soil that we're looking at here now. This is a stony place. Now, this soil has been plowed. This soil has it has been turned over, if you will, but it is shallow soil. There's lots of rocks there. This is kind of like the soil where I'm from down in southeast Missouri. That part of the country, it's not known for its crops. I can guarantee you that. You want to go out there and pick rock? You can do that because there are plenty of rocks. And I had to do that quite a bit when we would get in some trouble. Well, when my brothers would get in trouble, I never got in trouble, of course. But when they would, of course, they'd have to go out and pick rock. We'd go out into the field. We had this huge 10-acre field there. Well, Dad would be cutting that field, and you would hit a rock. So, get in trouble. Some of our punishment was, take the lawnmower out there, take the cart, fill the cart with rocks, and you're done. That was worse than any spanking I could ever get, I can guarantee you. I'd say, I will take 5 whacks, 6 whacks, 10 whacks, whatever. Get it over with. I don't want to go out there and pick rock. And I don't know how it happened, but we never ran out of rock to pick either. I think they were growing rock in Missouri. Amen. But that's exactly how the ground was out there. It was nearly impossible to even dig a hole for a mailbox post without renting a piece of equipment that would break through rock. It was crazy. They grow beef cattle above the ground because they can't grow anything in the ground out there. Amen. The reality is this, that little bit of soil on top and there's a little bit of grass that can grow, but you're not going to grow much with a deep root base because of the stony soil. This isn't speaking of a field with a lot of rock, but rather an area that is rock with a little bit of soil on top of it. You know, that describes a lot of believers today as well. Just a little bit of soil. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. They say they desire to live for the Lord. We say that we want to follow the Bible. We may even come to an altar and get some things right before God as the message is preached. We make a decision and we say, I'm going to live that way. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I've got good intentions, but it's no more than surface dirt. We don't allow it to take root. This can be seen in ones who make great decisions, but they're based on what man says about the Bible rather than what the Bible says. You will hear the Bible preached and you will hear what the pastor says about the Bible. But if we make a decision just because the pastor said it, you've got stony soil. It's not going to be able to take root. Your life can't take root in my life. It has to take root in the Word of God. With stony soil, the reason things seem to spring up quickly and may even look as though they are thriving is because of the warmth of the rock that's beneath the soil. So what's on top, it takes off, it grows, and it even grows quicker than many other plants, but it's not going to last. Look at verse 6 when the Bible says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. This plant withered because it had no place to draw water. It had no place to sink its roots down. It had no place to get the nutrients that it needed. It couldn't dig down any deeper. And many times this soil is what is found in either young believers and the ones who are not followed up on, and no one takes the time to teach them the Word of God. Or it can also be found in any believer who refuses to be faithful to the house of God. Understand this: when you hear the Bible preached, that seed goes out. But if we are unwilling to allow our roots to grow deeper, if we are unwilling to allow ourselves to be faithful to the clear command in God's Word when it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And then it also says, and so much the more. Understand, if we are disobeying that area of the Bible, I can guarantee we're disobeying other areas of the Bible as well. Because when we can pick and choose what part of the Bible we have to believe, we won't believe any of it. Lord, help us. Many times someone they'll get saved, and I praise the Lord for that, and they say that they desire to grow in the Word of God, and they're studying the Word of God. They want to know more about the Word of God and all of those types of things, and it's great that they want to do that, but you must be faithful to the commands of God. We must be faithful to what God has told us to do, what God has taught us in His Word, because if we're not faithful to that, understand, you may take a little bit of root, but as soon as the sun comes up, as soon as the heat's applied to your life, it'll be scorched. Why are there so many believers who live in the fear of what may happen? Because they have no root. They haven't been able to dig down. They haven't allowed themselves to be fully submersed in the Word of God. Why are there so many believers who are complainers and so full of bitterness? Because their life is stony soil. They haven't allowed the Bible to come alive in their life. You know what the Bible says? It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's about time that we as believers taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, I remember back in such and such year, I remember when God performed a great miracle. That's great. But He's still the same God today. Are you still praying for miracles to happen today? You tasted and saw that the Lord was good when He trusted you, or when you trusted Him as your personal Savior. When's the last time you tasted and saw that the Lord was good? His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. Every single day we should taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a lot of believers who look good on the outside. They look as though they have it all together. They may be able to convince others that they are spiritual. But when the rubber meets the road, when the sun comes up, when the heat is applied, you see the reality. You see the shallowness. You see the withering. All because they refuse to go from the stony ground to the good ground. They refuse to say, God, whatever Your Word says, that's what I'm going to do. I don't care what I have to adjust in my schedule. I don't care what I need to change in my life. I don't care who I need to go apologize to. Lord, whatever You want me to do, that's what I'm going to do, because I'm tired of having these shallow roots and not being able to dig down deeper. I'm tired of not being able to have the joy of the Lord. I'm tired of living a defeated life. Lord, I want to have the good ground. That's how we need to live. But if we refuse to do that, you'll stay with a stony soil. And what I have found is this: the ones that stay with the stony soil, they eventually become the wayside soil. Trotted down. They hear the Word of God, but they quit allowing it to affect their life. Can you see the test we're taking today? It's not up to us to decide whether or not the seed's going out. The seed's going. It's up to us to decide what kind of soil the seed's going to fall upon. I was talking to a person just a couple of weeks ago, and I invited them to church, and they asked this question. They said, "Do you preach the Bible?" And I said, "By God's grace, the Bible gets preached every single service." They said, "Good, because we need Bible preaching." Now, this person that I was talking to, they hadn't been to church in a long time. They couldn't even remember the last time they were in church. What happened there? I'm sure at one point there may have been some good soil in that person's life. There may have been a time where they became that stony soil, but now they're trotted down. They don't think they have to adhere to the Word of God. So first of all, we see the wayside soil. Then we see the stony soil. Next, let's see the thorny soil. That's where the thorns come up. Look at verse 7. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." So you see this sower going out. He's got a handful of seed, throws it out there. Some of it has landed on the wayside, and no doubt as he continues, people are walking through there, no doubt stepping on the seeds and all, and they're not able to penetrate the ground. Fowls are coming in. No doubt they'd see him throwing seed, and here they'd come to eat the seed that they could. Then you got some other seed that he's throwing out, and it's falling on that shallow ground there. Now, as he's walking, there's some places there that may not be as upkept as some other places, and there's some thorns that are coming up. We look at this thorny soil, and we find that the ground, notice, it may be deep. The ground, it may be rich. Obviously, vegetation can grow in this soil. You've got these thorns that are coming up. You've got these things that are able to spring up and choke out what the good seed was supposed to produce. The weeds are taking over. That's what we see here. I'm sure there are people in this room today who are saved. They know an awful lot about the Bible. They were raised in church. They know the stories of the truth. Their ground was prepared, but they haven't tended to the ground. And thorns have come up. They've allowed false teachers to come into their life. They've allowed these ungodly doctrines to be taught to them, and therefore these thorns are choking out what God wants to do. Many times you will see a young person who trusts Christ as their personal Savior, and they're on fire for God, and they want to do all they can to serve God, and they want to tell everyone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was just rejoicing on the inside yesterday. We went down to McDonald's, and boy, always wanted to get some quarter pounders with cheese, amen. And so we went down there, and of course Landon trusted Christ as his Savior about a week and a half ago, and we got ready to go inside. Landon has never asked me this before. He asked me this: Dad, can I take a track in today? I said, praise the Lord. Why? Because he sees that that's something that he needs to do as a believer. He knows that it's important. He's excited about the things of God. And I praise the Lord for that. However, many times what we see is we'll see a young man like that or a young girl, and we will see them be on fire for God, and they want to tell people about the Lord, and they want to do all they can to please the Lord. And you can see that they're broken when they do something that's contrary to the Word of God. And then they reach the teenage years. Then some friends start coming into the picture. What happens? Some thorns start coming and start choking out all that God had done. At one point, they were on fire for God. They may have even surrendered to the Lord at one point. They may have been making changes in their life to be more in line with Scripture. But then something happened. Whether it's teenager or adult life, a new job comes along. Keeps us out of church. An unsaved or unspiritual boyfriend or girlfriend comes along. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's a thorn. The busyness of this world comes along. Maybe you have some children, and in having those children, you allow the devil to convince you that you just don't have time for the Lord right now. But I'll have time later. I'm just going to focus on my children right now. Wrong choice. Parents here today, there's nothing more important than your walk with the Lord, especially in the eyes of your children. Don't allow the thorns to come up in their life to the best of your ability. Sports will not change their life for the good. Sports will not make them more spiritual. But when they are put in place of things of the Lord, though they are not sinful in and of themselves, they become weeds in our lives. Notice the verse says there in verse 7, and some fell among thorns. Notice, and the thorns sprung up. It was quick. It's like they came out of nowhere. What happened to that ground? Something got planted there, and it was a thorn. You know, the bad things will always grow quicker in your life than the good things will. It just will. With most sinful things and things that choke out the workings of the Holy Spirit, you will find that they will spring up quickly. You will get sucked in. You will get choked out by that. We get enthralled with instant results and things that catch our eye. And we see that things are growing in the field, but we have missed the fact that what is growing is not fruit for the Lord, but rather weeds that are choking out all the decisions that we made for the Lord. Someone may look at your life and they may say, wow, it looks like God is really blessing them. Wow, look at that person over there. I mean, I know they're not faithful to church, and I know that they're doing these things that are away from the Bible, and I know that they curse a little bit and all of those things, but I know they're saved. And obviously, look at their bank account, look at their house, look at their car. Obviously, there's fruit there. God's blessing that. That's thorns that have sprung up in their life. Oh, it's vegetation. It's came up, but it's choked out the things of God. We allow that to happen too often. What's choking out the Lord in your life? We've all seen pictures of some beautiful houses, sometimes historic places that were built maybe with great craftsmanship, and they are a sight to behold. I love looking at historic buildings and just the way that they did things. And the main reason is this, because I know they built that without the modern equipment that we have today. You can tell a piece of equipment, cut this out and it will do that. Well, back then, they didn't have that stuff. They just had to do it. And if they were anything like me, it took them about 30 different tries. Amen. I definitely do the cut twice and measure once. Amen. That's just how it works out in my life. But I love looking at these beautiful houses. But what happens when they're not cared for? What happens when nobody pulls the vines off the side? They get completely taken over. Oh, what's underneath was once beautiful. It's still a house that's there. There are many people. They're saved. No one can take your salvation from you. Once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven. There is a beautiful piece of land that is there. But as we allow the things of this world to choke us out, that piece of land gets covered with all of the ungodliness of this world. And people are walking by, and what once was a piece of land that was bringing forth good fruit has now been so covered over with the weeds of this world, they can't even tell that you're a Christian. That shouldn't be in our lives. We are told to come out from among them and be a separate people. We are to live a life that is reflecting Christ. But we can only do that if we allow the Lord to get rid of these thorns. Don't allow the beauty to be choked out of your life. Many times we will look at a beautiful home like what I was talking about, and we'll drive by it years down the road, and we'll see that nature has taken its course on that home, and windows have been busted out and all that, and we will say something like, wow, what a shame. That was such a beautiful place. Such a shame was what's happened there. But yet it doesn't even bother us when it's happened to us spiritually. Well, God understands. He doesn't understand. You're His child. Allow Him to get rid of those weeds. And then notice lastly, and we'll be done here. We looked at the wayside. We looked at the stony place. We looked at the thorny ground. Last, let's look at the good ground. The good soil. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. But other fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. You know, we've looked at a lot of things about soil today. We've seen there's some wayside and some stony and thorny and all of that. And we're looking at this good soil. And this soil here is the one to aim for. If you're the wayside soil, don't aim to be stony soil. If you're the stony soil, don't aim to be the thorny soil. Don't do that. No matter what place you're in, aim for the good soil. If you're unsaved today, you can have good soil today by trusting Christ as your personal Savior. If you've been trotted down and you don't remember the last time the Word of God spoke to your heart, the last time you allowed it to, you don't remember the last time you bowed your knee before an altar, you don't remember the last time you shed a tear before the Lord, you don't remember the last time you were broken, don't aim for just the next better soil. Aim for good soil. Aim for that. Allow the Lord to do a work. But we're looking at this good soil here. This is the only soil that we are called to live. This is the only soil that is acceptable in the sight of God. This soil here, it's cared for, it's fertilized, it's prepared for growth. This soil is good. Why is it good? Because it brings forth fruit and lots of it. Good fruit. It's impossible to bring forth lots of fruit for the Lord if you're comfortable with the wayside soil in your life. It's impossible to do exactly what this verse says when it says some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. You won't bring forth fruit for the Lord if you're happy with the stony soil in your life. if you're happy with those thorns that are there, if you're unwilling to get rid of those things, you won't bring forth good fruit for the Lord. But the difference will be seen when we commit to ensuring that we have good soil. So the question is simple this morning. How did you test? And how did I test? I don't want to see the results in that test. Because I know I've got work to do. I know there's ways that I fail the Lord each and every day. I know that in my mind and in my flesh, I want to say, well, it's all good ground, so I don't have to worry about anything. Every time the Word of God goes forth, it goes into the ground there. It springs forth good fruit. And there are hundreds of fold of fruit out there. That's what my flesh wants to say. But in reality, there are some areas in my life that I know it's wayside soil. Sometimes the truth of the Word of God is preached and my flesh says, don't allow that to penetrate the soil. Because that's going to cause some changes. There's other times where the Word of God is preached and in personal devotions and those things where the seed goes out and it may take root for a little while and I may say, you know what, I'm going to make this decision for God. You know what, God, you spoke to me about this. I know this is your will for me. I'm going to do that. And I close my Bible after devotion. I've already said my prayer. I go on about my day. It took a little bit of root. Then the sun came up and it withered away. Never to be seen again. I know there's other times in my life where I've made decisions for the Lord and I say, God, this is what I'm going to do. And then I allow things to come into my life that are thorns. And they choke out the decision that I made for God. I know that about myself. And you know that about you as well, because we're all sinners. Every one of us. And we need God's help. So what are you going to do today? The test has already been given. We didn't have to see the results visibly. We already know what they are. When the soil of your life was tested, was it wayside? Was it hard and trotted down to where the seed of the Word of God could not penetrate? Are you unsaved today? Get that taken care of. Maybe you are saved today, yet you have placed limits on God and His Word. You're saved, but the roots are shallow. Get that taken care of. Make the commitment that I'm going to grow in the Word of God. And we'll help you to do that. I've got all kinds of studies that you can do. We've got many people. I believe we're approaching 25 or 30 different people that are going through different discipleship things. You can grow in the Word of God. We'll help you with that. But it has to be your decision. It has to be. You have to be uncomfortable having the stony soil. Maybe you've allowed thorns in your life. Some things that are choking out God's will. Get rid of those things. You don't need them. They're weighing you down and they will keep you from sowing and reaping good fruit. But maybe you're here today and you have good soil. To the best of your knowledge, you're doing what you can to yield to the Lord. And you are good soil. Praise the Lord for that. Can I encourage you today as well, though? Don't take your foot off the gas. Keep fertilizing that soil. Stay in the house of God. Stay in your Bible. Stay praying. Stay serving the Lord. Do all you can for God, because only what's done for Christ will last. Keep going. But if we're honest with ourselves, the vast majority of us, myself included, we fall somewhere in those first three. And we need the Lord's help. Don't allow the thorns to pop up, and when they try to cut them out, they'll start to rise to the surface. But be quick to confess and turn from that sin. So how did you test today? Test is given. Soil was put in. What is it in your life? So I'll close.